Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. 40 Years to Life by Brenda Bradford Ward is a vivid description of a life in hiding. Very few people ever will experience. Society errs either on the side of lax and harmful permissiveness or on harsh and destructive suppression regarding gender identity conflict. What it is and how best to deal with it are questions which must be addressed. These questions are central to 40 Years to Life. Ms. Ward grew up in a house full of music and a family focus on small-town retail banking. She, too, devoted herself to finance for decades with a finance concentration MBA and a career in financial services. But she always felt a compulsion to pretend secretly to be someone else, suppressed. It took decades for her to approach transition. Once begun, transition was unstoppable. Years later, she examined her experience in the fallacy of assignable gender. Beginning a new life as a PhD student in sex and gender psychology, she seized an opportunity to revisit her earlier work, and she completed 40 Years to Life, which we'll talk about on today's program. And author Brenda Bradford Ward is our guest. Brenda, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's so great to be here.
Such an important topic, and I'm delighted to be able, although the time will go by quickly, to be able to talk about this in your book, 40 Years to Life. Give me a little bit of background on the book and why you decided to write this, what the inspiration was for you to tell your story.
The 40 years of, well, each of those things, gender identity conflict, and then what I was doing, which was gender identity conflict suppression, would warrant, well, their own chapters. But I got the idea, instruction, really, to suppress my gender identity conflict when I was wearing my older sister's clothing as a child of 4 or 5 years old. And mother told me that my dad did not want me to do that.
Wow.
What father would?
Well, yes, yes. But what was it like hearing those words?
Like the biggest, loudest door closing.
Yes.
And from then on, I was determined that no one was going to find out about this inexplicable compulsion to show a different gender. I'm sure you did. I'm sure most children are very much aware of what is and is not acceptable for their genders. And one of the worst insults that boys, especially young boys, can receive is to be told that they're doing something like a girl.
Yes.
But that really points to gender identity conflict, the idea that you will not talk about, you won't show the most thin sliver of light onto that identity that is being suppressed, is what I'm trying to alert people to in 40 Years to Life.
And that's
fallacy was more an explanation of or exposition of the condition. But now I think, especially with so much attention being paid to what is called transgenderism, and I don't even understand that, and I certainly should. But if it takes so little to suggest to a child that she or he should hide that conflict and then spend years pretending to be who everybody thinks you are,
yes,
but privately knowing you're not.
The book by Barbara...
It doesn't seem possible that anyone could, quote, act.
Yes.
In a role like that for 40 years, but I did.
And the book is 40 Years to Life. Brenda Bradford Ward is the author and our guest on the program. Book available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. So much to talk about during the course of the program, and it's going to go by too quickly, but we'll give it a shot and love to have Brenda come back and continue our conversation. Let's be very basic. What do you differentiate between sex and gender? What's the difference between the two? Because we hear them almost interchangeable.
Oh, yes. And for over 99% of the population, I think that's true, that sex and gender are the same. And when for so many people they are the same, they don't really understand it's being different. And some folks on the permissiveness side, some people seem to be suggesting that there are many genders that if you could present this, the gender of a horse a cockroach or whatever it is. Anyway,
yes.
The idea that somehow what we present is our gender. Unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. We can seem to be all kinds of things, but we don't do a service to ourselves or anyone else if we are pretending. That does need to be authentic, and it's not necessarily easy to be that authentic. The work of Jordan Peterson, I think probably a lot of people are familiar with, he has especially more recently been discovering and exploring religious belief, supporting everything we know about culture. And if we are not being true to ourselves, then that old adage, it follows as night must follow day, that we can be true to no one. Our sex really should include a mental capacity. If somebody is with someone else in a supposed sexual relationship, but their mind is not in it, what kind of a relationship is that? It cannot be real. And clearly, we've got 8 billion people on the planet almost, and almost a 500,000 years of history showing that male and female of plants, animals, whatever, anyway, are necessary for procreation. And I'm not thinking about the seahorses that the male seahorses that carry the young and whatever, anyway. There was a line in the film Jurassic Park where life finds a way. And it does. Life, and we have all of human history to show that one particular sort of thing works, and works very well. Although I guess there are people who would say that our green planet is suffering.
No. Yes.
Under the weight of the success of Homo sapiens.
That yes.
But we have Heidelbergensis, we have Neanderthals, we have Denisovans. There are all kinds of branches of humanity in our past with a human root, Homo erectus, that did not lead to a large population. Each of those branches died out, leaving Homo sapiens as what we are now. And of course, we're trying to decide every day, I guess, how we're going to proceed, how we're going to continue.
That seems to be you're right, a daily struggle with this. And something we hear so much about is gender identity conflict. Yes. Tell exactly what is that? Can you sort of explain that to us?
Well, our gender identity is our mental sense of ourself, and it's as deep as anything can possibly be. And our gender identity says that yes, we should be this thing, and no, we should not be that. My gender identity of being a sort of hyper-masculine character, certainly those were the children on the ball fields or playgrounds who were popular, who were successful. But that was never something that I could adopt successfully. So I would take a stab at it, but my heart wasn't in it. My mind wasn't in it. Yes. None of me really was in it. And so that's the conflict.
How difficult
is
it?
A sense of oneself that differs so greatly from our expectations, or the expectations primarily of others.
How difficult was it, is it, to suppress such a conflict? How difficult is that? Because you mentioned how deep it is. It's the core of who you are.
And I lived with that conflict for 40 years. I did not share it with a single soul. Occasionally, I guess, in prayer, but with no one with whom I was going to physically grapple. And it's a very lonely kind of thing. You can, as you can imagine, suppressing a conflict like that is bad enough that you might experience the conflict at all, and I think well under 1% of the population does truly experience it. But worse than that, if you're suppressing it, if you will not share it with anyone, you're carrying all that burden yourself.
Yes.
And yes, there can be an attempt at prayerful resolution or finding someone conversant with scripture who might offer some salve to put on the wound, but that does not heal the wound. The wound is still there until the conflict is ultimately addressed. And I found a psychiatrist who specialized in gender identity conflict, and oddly, with sexual addictions. One of the explanations offered for something that seems like gender identity conflict is a variety of excuses offered by people who will not accept the fact that we have a natal gender identity. The most horrendous, notorious case was Dr. John Money, Professor Emeritus from Johns Hopkins, who was trying to help a boy who had an electrical circumcision, which is as horrible as it sounds.
Wow, yes.
But he was counseling the parents, and they were going to try to raise this child as a girl because he could not function as a male. What Money ended up proving by that was that you cannot alter gender identity, that it is fixed at birth. And so now all efforts at resolving gender identity conflict are oriented to attempting to make cosmetic changes to the body to make it conform with the mind. We have the mind and the body. If we can't alter one, we're going to try to alter the other.
Yes.
And I can imagine that some of this may come across as my sounding like a fanatic on the subject, but having struggled with suppressing a conflict for more than 40 years, of course it's something I care about.
Well, yes.
And I'm very much concerned that we are telling young children today to suppress their conflict and end up living lives like I lived.
Well, and you know firsthand, you went through four decades of living basically a lie, that you suppressed this. Our guest is Brenda Bradford Ward, W-A-R-D, the book 40 Years to Life. You'll find it at Amazon.com. The publisher is PenCultureSolutions.com, book there as well. And the usual places, we'll have all this on our website. Time going by so quickly, there are people that will say, this whole gender identity conflict, this is really a relatively new phenomenon. Would that be accurate?
Exactly. And it's not. It's centuries old. There is a Roman emperor. He led his troops in battle. They were victorious. He was known as Elagabalus. But he offered, so as a Roman emperor, he offered all of his kingdom to anyone who could fashion a vagina in his body. And he indeed wanted to marry someone else, a male close to him. And I'm using him in quotation marks, but that person clearly seems to have had a gender identity conflict in a time and place where it was extremely difficult. There's another, Ebershoff wrote about the Danish girl, Lily Elbe, who died as a result of surgery to attempt to, I believe Magnus Hirschfeld was her surgeon, I'm not sure. Magnus Hirschfeld was a European a physician who was trying to help people with their gender identity conflict transitions. But ultimately, even after today's transitions, as effective or ineffective as they might be, ultimately it still does get back to what's between our ears. And if we are suffering from that gender identity conflict, we ultimately have to face it and come to peace with it and realize that we're never going to be as completely of our sexual identity as we would like, but we'll be far closer than the false self we were presenting.
Yes. You know, in the book is 40 years to life, and the time is going by so quickly. So read the book. It's very enlightening. It's Brenda's story, Brenda Bradford Ward. Your plan to address the conflict involves school psychologists. They're already, people would say, heavily involved in testing and measurements and everything else. Is that where it starts with the school psychologists who deal with these young people on a daily basis?
My sincere hope would be that if school psychologists could meet with all of the students over their whole public school career, they would have an opportunity perhaps to share the secret of the student who is suppressing that identity conflict and try to help them begin to resolve the conflict. But it is easier to do before puberty because the normal mechanisms of puberty begin to fashion our bodies into the sex into which they were born. I don't think there's a Christian or I don't know of any religious belief that supports the idea that we are our bodies. And the bodies into which we find ourselves, yeah, 99 times out of 100 are going to have a sexual and gender congruence. But my hope would be that school psychologists would find the proverbial needle in the haystack, who really needs some intervention, some assistance. They need to stop hiding that identity.
You mentioned in the book an elegant solution. And again, we've only got a few minutes left in the program, but briefly talk about that. Describe what you mean by that.
In most things regarding natural science, elegance is the neatest, cleanest approach to something. An elegant solution to gender identity conflict would be no conflict at all. So that through some DNA testing, something close to either in utero or shortly after birth, finding that there is a predisposition to the conflict, and then rectifying it medically. It's something that our DNA spelling, however the strands are configured, those that have to do with, we certainly understand that a fertilized egg, an egg is going to, by its nature, it's going to be female. And sperm is introduced, and sperm attempts to make the egg masculine or male. But feminine and masculine refer to gender. Female and male refer to sex. So there's no such thing as a feminine sex. There's no such thing as a female gender. It's a feminine gender, and most people of most other countries realize that there is a gender difference. The French refer to a door or a window or a house as having a gender. Somehow, our American English especially seems to have gotten rid of almost all of that.
Yes.
But the elegant solution is to, as close to birth as possible, eliminate any possible conflict.
What are your hopes? And again, I've got a couple minutes here, but it's so important. We take an issue like this, we make it an ism, as you were talking about in the beginning, and you've got buzzwords out there, you've got critical race theory, you've got gender identity conflict, all those are thrown out there, and it sort of, in my mind at least, blocks us from having a serious adult discussion about what is a real problem. Brendan knows it's a real problem. How optimistic are you that we will be able to address these issues and not have people go 40 years of their lives living basically an untruth?
Well, Rick, we have over 2,000 years at least of sort of taking stabs at this, and we're still at a very rudimentary level.
Yes.
I would love to say that I'm really optimistic that somehow something is going to be done tomorrow, but I can't say that. There's something called functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRIs, that can indicate which parts of the brain are activated when we're doing various things. And there are differences between the way brains of males and brains of females behave. But as a diagnostic, that is horribly inefficient because you can't do that on a fetus. You can't do it on humans in the womb.
Yes.
It's really almost as though we're talking about doing surgery with hatchets.
This has been such an important conversation, just touching the surface, but Brenda does such a nice job of taking us through 40 years to life, what she went through, a vivid description of basically a life in hiding. Many people will not experience, but for those of the people in the population who do, it's difficult times. Just one final question. When you started the transformation, What was that like? Was it like life was suddenly opening up to you and you felt comfortable with yourself?
The first time I went out publicly, openly, with a dress on and my hair combed a little differently, I went to dinner at a famous restaurant, or well-known restaurant in our community. And I could not believe that people were not staring at me, but they were not. They were paying no more attention to me than they would have to any other woman standing in line or yes. wherever I was. And it was cathartic, but it certainly pointed to the ultimate resolution that we can, it's a gift we can give ourselves. We can find peace in being the people we were so afraid to be. And it's ultimately an absurd way to live, but I did it for 40 plus years.
Well, the book is a gift. You're sharing your story, and the book will open eyes, and it's necessary reading. The book is 40 Years to Life. The author, our guest, Brenda Bradford Ward. You can Google the book and find it anywhere. It's available, of course, Amazon.com, all the usual places, PennCultureSolutions.com, all of the places. And we'll have all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Brenda, we just touched the surface. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Time went by way too quickly. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Rick.
It has been our pleasure. Brenda Bradford Ward. The book is 40 Years to Life. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.